Hello, this is Stephanie, and I'm bringing you the April broadsheet from Elevate to elevate your mood, bringing colour and inspiration to you for the month of April. And on the front page this month, we have David Davies writing about St George's Day. And David writes, "The story of St George has travelled through time and across continents and has compelling themes that reflect our modern times. St George's Day is celebrated in England on the 23rd of April. But while St George is seen by many as a symbol of nationalism in England, his life story seems to represent times of cultural diversity and change, not unlike today. George was born to a Greek family in the 3rd century AD, in what is now modern-day Turkey. His parents were originally from central Turkey and Palestine. He served in an Italian army and lived and died in AD 303 in what is modern day Israel, quite a multicultural story. Today, George is an astonishingly popular saint across the world. His patron connections include Brazil, Bulgaria, Ethiopia, Greece, Lithuania, Palestine, Portugal, Russia and Spain. Diversity seems to go hand in hand with St George's story. He is, of course, well known for his dragon slaying and rescuing of princesses in many of these places, though most of the dragon stories were added about 500 years after his death. George rides into a city tormented by a tyrannical dragon, rescues a maiden and offers to kill the dragon if the people convert to Christianity. The image of good triumphing over evil and, in a military context, bravery vanquishing a terrible enemy, became set in the stories of many nations. An immigrant himself, George travelled between the provinces of the vast Roman Empire to find employment. George is famous because he spread what were then new Middle Eastern religious ideas from abroad to Western civilization. Controversial because the Roman Empire had worshipped its native pagan gods for centuries. As an immigrant with a foreign religion, George ended up at the receiving end of discrimination and persecution from the Roman authorities, increasingly wary of Christianity's growing power." And David has a copy of a painting, St George and the Dragon by Paolo Uccelli. And St George is on a white horse slaying a dragon and there's a maiden watching in despair. In the middle pages this month are written by me, Stephanie, and I'm talking about April showers bring May flowers. There's a little saying, "The 1st of April, some do say, is set apart for All Fool's Day. But why the people call it so, nor I nor they themselves do know." So much to look and listen out for this month. I wonder what you look for or associate with April. April showers bring May flowers. The showers are sometimes brief flurries of snow or hailstones followed by intense sunshine, but hidden in the green of the hedgerows and woodlands, the first violets are carpeting the ground. Scentless but beautiful are purple and white dog violets. The ancient Greeks thought of violets as symbols of fertility and romance, and in the Victorian language of flowers, a purple violet indicated that the sender's thoughts were occupied with love for the recipient. Violet is for faithfulness, which in me shall abide, hoping likewise that from your heart you will not let it slide. As we shelter from the showers, it's astonishing to think that the cuckoo is on its way, and to reach us, it has survived sandstorms, hailstorms, exceptional cold, a wet summer, predators over the Mediterranean and in the Congo rainforest, and has crossed the Sahara Desert in a continuous 50 to 60 hour flight. The cuckoo comes in April, sings the month of May, changes its tune in the middle of June, and July it flies away. Listen out for the call of the cuckoo, the winged clock of spring, or as William Wordsworth said, "O cuckoo, shall I call thee bird or but a wandering voice?" If you hear the cuckoo on the 14th of April, St. Tiburtius's day, turn out all the money in your pockets, spit and do not look at the ground. If you are standing on soft ground, you will have good luck. But if you spit on hard ground, the cuckoo call will bring you bad luck. I'm hoping that the damp grass by the river counts as soft, as I definitely heard the cuckoo on the 14th of April last year, after it arrived here in Downton on the 11th of April. The cuckoo heralds the onset of good weather, and not more than a century ago, farmers would sow barley when the first cuckoo was heard to ensure a full crop. Meanwhile, down by the river in the reeds, it is only the male bird who says cuckoo. The female makes a laughter-like, chuckling, bubbling sound. And there's another, I have a little bit of writing from a poem called To an Early Swallow by Alice Carey. When swallows fly high, the weather will be dry. The swallows, also a sign of spring, return to swoop and dive, following the gnats and flies. My little bird of the air, if thou dost know, then tell me the sweet reason thou comest always, only in thy season, to build and pair. As you watch the birds, think of violets and shelter from the showers, you could listen to a few April tunes. And if you have online access, you could have a try on YouTube or Spotify to listen to April in Paris, or Drip, Drip, Drop Little April Showers from the Walt Disney film Bambi, or On Hearing the First Cuckoo in Spring by Delius. And on my page, I have taken some photographs of violets nestling in the hedgerows, white ones and purple. And I've also got a photograph of the river near me where I live, the River Avon, and the reeds where I usually hear the cuckoo. And on this centre spread, we also have a poem by a lady called Patricia Hewitt. And it's called With Apologies to William Wordsworth. I wandered lonely from the crowd, midst nature's glorious springtime frills. Primmies, bluebells, cowslips too, all around my feet were strew, when at once methought, all clamouring loud, a host of birds, some chiff-chaff tweets, some black-cat trills. Gorgeous blossomed, bursting forth against bright skies so clear, so blue. Graceful gowns, cascade tall tree, then next a ballet tutu, frothing free. Beware, cold winds from east and north may whisk away your beauteous hue. I feast my eyes and fill mine ears and think on family, friends and hope. With spirits raised and heart full swelling, count my blessings, head for dwelling. Assured though moments dark or bowed with fears, such sights as these will help us cope. Oh, and if you would like to contribute a poem or an image or your thoughts on spring for the next summer edition, get in touch with us at ArtCare. And on the back page, Hannah Lefebvre is writing from her off-grid small holding about springtime. Hannah says, at last, spring is in full bloom, and in nature, at least, things are set to get more desirable for many months to come. Now we can look forward to more blossom, flowers, fruits, vegetables, daylight and warmer weather. To say that it has been a difficult 12 months is a vast understatement for so many. We all have our comforts, and for me, nature and creativity have been consistent touchstones throughout. I hope that reading our piece will give you some comfort, and that you too will have ways to connect with what matters to you. As you read this, I hope to be at home, convalescing after major surgery. I will sleep downstairs next to a large window where I can awaken to the dawn chorus. Our forest garden provides ample food sources for birds, with large enclosures to safely nest, resulting in a rich cacophony of sounds. Our recently introduced bird table has brought many welcome guests to our dining window, and we are gradually learning birdsong. From the garden we still have ample parsnips, brassicas, spinach, chard, garlic, fruit and tomato preserves, frozen squash and fresh salad. At the beginning of April, vegetable seedlings fill our living room shelves, and blossom bursts from many of the magnolia, amelanchier, prunus and blackthorn trees. Daffodils have injected colour into large parts of the garden, and everything feels ready to regrow. With additional daylight, solar electricity is no longer scarce, and the Rayburn use has lessened. Weather forecasts are closely monitored, and lessening frost damage is crucial. Our polytunnel peach and apricot trees are an ongoing experiment, as they are mostly frostproof but need pollinators. We faithfully open the polytunnel doors each day and in previous years hand pollinated with paintbrushes. However, we gave up on that after a year of no fruit with the doors shut. Meanwhile, I still enjoy craft projects in the lighter early evenings. This year I have initiated a Decorate the Village plastic-free Easter trail and made miniature Easter baskets as gifts. Corn from a neighbour's thatched roof has resulted in a number of corn dolly experiments, and pieces of old worn crockery from last year's beachcombing have been used as mosaic on large stone eggs. I do hope you enjoy the photographs. And Hannah has got a photograph of some of her corn dollies that she's made and her mosaic patterned eggs and a lovely pink blossom in one of her polytunnels. And I hope you've enjoyed listening. And if you would like to contribute your own reflection or poem or image, send it to Artcare, Block 29 at Salisbury District Hospital.